Ever experience that fleeting panic when you can't find your phone? We've all been there.
Absolutely.
But imagine a future where our devices could simply tell us their location. Perhaps announcing from your back pocket, here I am.
Oh, I like that.
That's the kind of future this 2005 research paper envisions.
That's right.
A future we'll be diving into today.
Yes.
The title, Where Am I? Recognizing on-body positions of wearable sensors.
Groundbreaking for its time.
It seems remarkably prescient, even now.
It does.
Their core question, can we leverage a device's motion data to determine its location on the body?
Their work went beyond simply asking that.
Oh.
They demonstrated a method.
Fascinating.
Their approach hinged on the understanding that each location on the body possesses a unique movement fingerprint.
The grip. Let's unpack that concept.
Certainly.
The paper focuses on walking as a starting point, which seems rather astute.
It is. Walking, as they emphasize,
provides
a consistent motion pattern that's independent of the sensor's position.
Meaning?
Regardless of whether the sensor is in your pocket or on your wrist, your gait remains consistent.
So they're establishing a baseline.
Exactly.
How do they then transition from recognizing walking to identifying a specific location, like the hip?
Think about it this way. The way your wrist moves while you walk is noticeably different from the movement of your hip or ankle.
That's true.
Your wrist makes many rapid, short movements, while your hip exhibits a smoother, more cyclical pattern.
They're mapping these subtle distinctions to pinpoint location.
Precisely.
Ever.
And here's a crucial detail. The paper emphasizes the norm of acceleration.
Norm.
The overall magnitude rather than its direction.
And that's significant because
it makes the system agnostic to the sensor's orientation.
So the direction the sensor is pointing becomes irrelevant.
Exactly. Whether your phone is standing upright in your pocket or lying flat, the system can still discern its location.
That's ingenious.
Isn't it?
However, the paper acknowledges that people don't simply walk continuously.
True.
What happens when you're sitting?
Right.
Or adjust the device?
Of course.
Or move in short bursts?
Excellent point. They address these real-world complexities head-on.
Do tell.
They focused on analyzing extended walking segments to ensure accurate location recognition.
So longer stretches of movement.
Exactly. They acknowledged that shorter, more transient actions, like briefly picking up your phone, required further research.
They recognized the limitations.
They did.
Which is commendable, especially for research this groundbreaking.
I agree.
And speaking of groundbreaking, they achieved remarkable accuracy even back then, didn't they?
They did. For what they termed event-based location, whether the device had changed locations during a walking segment, they achieved. Are you ready for this?
I am.
100%.
A perfect score.
A perfect score.
Wow. That underscores the potential even in those early stages.
It does.
This extends beyond simply knowing if your phone is in your pocket or purse.
It does.
This research hints at a future where devices are aware of their location.
Right.
And how that location relates to us.
You're right.
Imagine the possibilities.
The paper even suggests device cooperation.
For instance.
Your phone could confirm its presence in your pocket because your smartwatch senses you walking.
Precisely. And it's not just about convenience.
Right.
Consider the implications for individuals with disabilities or the elderly.
Yes. Devices that anticipate needs based on location and movement.
Transformative.
Absolutely transformative. And we've only scratched the surface. Of course, alongside these possibilities come ethical considerations.
You're introducing a crucial dimension.
If our devices can track their location on our bodies with this level of precision, it raises questions about privacy.
You're right. While we envision the benefits, we must acknowledge the potential downsides.
We must.
This paper offers food for thought, even after all these years.
It does. And consider this, they were working with bulky, dedicated sensors. Imagine how much more feasible this becomes with the compact, sophisticated sensors in our modern devices.
The progress is astonishing. I'm curious about their methods.
Okay.
What exactly were these unique movements they analyzed?
They examined a range of features, such as the root mean square.
RMS.
Yes, RMS of the acceleration signal, which provides a sense of the overall intensity of movement.
Okay.
They also looked at percentiles.
Percentiles. Interesting.
Notably the 75th percentile to capture those peak movement characteristics.
So not just averages. They were looking for the nuances.
Exactly. They also incorporated the interquartile range,
a
measure of the spread or dispersion of the acceleration values.
Mm-hmm.
A wider spread suggests more varied, perhaps erratic, movement.
Right.
And because walking has an inherent rhythm,
right,
they delved into the frequency content of the signal.
Makes sense.
Using techniques like frequency range power and frequency entropy.
Frequency entropy. That sounds complicated.
It might sound complex, but essentially it quantifies how spread out the frequencies within a signal are.
Okay.
Higher entropy means a more intricate signal, a broader range of frequencies.
So this help them differentiate between, say, the rapid wrist movements and the smoother hip movements.
It's precisely.
Are you suggesting they created a movement vocabulary for different body locations?
Essentially, yes. They used these features to train a machine learning model.
And that was successful.
They used a C4.5 classifier, to be specific, to link movement patterns with locations.
And they achieved that 100% accuracy.
For event-based location, yes. But it's important to note.
Yes.
This was in a controlled environment.
Of course.
Real-world applications present a whole other set of challenges.
Naturally.
However, their results were, in their words, surprisingly reliable.
Especially given this was uncharted territory.
Exactly.
I can see why this paper captivated you. Pioneering research that's also incredibly prescient.
It is.
Especially considering they had no way of knowing about the ubiquity of smartphones. Devices packed with even more powerful sensors.
Right.
It makes you wonder what the future holds.
It does. The paper itself outlines some future research avenues.
Such as?
Like the ability to differentiate between even more subtle locations.
You mean being able to tell if a device is in a front pocket versus the back pocket?
Exactly. Or pinpointing it on specific parts of the arm or leg.
Fascinating.
They also highlighted the potential for device collaboration.
Which, as we discussed, could be groundbreaking for accessibility and beyond.
Absolutely.
Our devices working in concert, anticipating our needs.
It's exciting, but it also gives us pause.
It does.
That's why these conversations are crucial.
Indeed.
While this technology is still relatively young, we need to guide its development responsibly.
To harness its benefits while upholding our values.
Precisely.
Well said. This deep dive has been truly eye-opening.
Good.
The potential, the pitfalls.
It's fascinating.
I'll be pondering this further.
Me too. It's remarkable how a single research paper,
even one published nearly two decades ago,
can spark so many questions, so many possibilities.
That's what we aim for. But before we get carried away,
here,
let's revisit the specifics of this paper.
Okay.
I want to ensure our listeners fully appreciate the ingenuity of their approach.
Of course. What would you like to delve into?
Let's talk about the challenges they faced.
Oh.
For instance, how did they account for the fact that people's movements aren't always continuous?
Right.
We sit, we stand, we fidget.
We do.
How did they filter out that noise to achieve such accurate results?
That's a great question. One of their key insights was realizing they didn't need to analyze every single moment of movement.
Interesting.
They concentrated on identifying extended periods of walking.
Okay.
Segments lasting at least a few tens of seconds.
So by focusing on those longer stretches?
Exactly.
They minimized the impact of those shorter, less informative movements.
Precisely. Those longer walking segments provided a much clearer signature for each body location.
And since walking is such a common activity,
it is.
Being able to accurately identify those segments gave them a solid foundation.
Exactly.
It's like taking a longer exposure photograph to get a sharper image of something in motion.
That's a fantastic analogy. I've never thought of it that way.
But how did they identify those walking segments in the first place?
Right.
Did they have to manually label all that data?
That would have been incredibly time-consuming.
Especially with the amount of data they collected.
It would have been.
So how did they do it?
They found a more efficient solution.
Oh.
Remember those features we discussed earlier? The RMS, the percentiles, the frequency components?
Yes.
Those features can also differentiate between walking and non-walking activity.
So they use the same set of features for both identifying walking segments and determining body locations.
Exactly. It's remarkably efficient.
Very clever. It all ties together seamlessly. They were meticulous.
They were, but their ingenuity went beyond the technical aspects.
Oh.
They demonstrated a keen awareness of the broader implications of their work. Even back then, they recognize this technology could be invasive if misused.
That's often overlooked in the excitement over new tech.
It is.
It's refreshing to see researchers addressing those ethical concerns head on.
Absolutely.
It's a good reminder that even well-intentioned advances can have unintended consequences.
They can.
We need to have open and honest conversations about the ethical implications of technologies like this.
I absolutely do.
To ensure they're developed and used responsibly.
Exactly.
That's a conversation we need to have sooner rather than later. But before we go down that road,
sure.
I want to circle back to the technical aspects.
Of course.
I'm curious about the challenges they faced when distinguishing between locations that are physically close together.
Right.
You mentioned they even wanted to differentiate between a device in a front pocket versus a back pocket.
Yes. That's where their research takes an even more fascinating turn.
How so?
They realized they needed to go beyond analyzing movement data from a single sensor in isolation. They began exploring the use of multiple sensors together.
So instead of just looking at how my phone moves in my pocket,
right,
they'd also consider how my smartwatch moves on my wrist.
Precisely.
And by analyzing the subtle interactions between those movements,
exactly,
they could paint a more comprehensive picture.
That's right.
For example, if my phone and smartwatch both detect a walking pattern,
yes,
but the phone's movement is slightly delayed,
right,
that might suggest it's in my back pocket rather than my front.
Precisely. And that's just one example.
Right.
By considering the relative positions and movements of multiple sensors.
Yes.
They believe they could differentiate between all sorts of subtle body positions.
It sounds incredibly complex.
It is.
But also incredibly powerful.
It is.
It's like having multiple cameras capturing different angles of the same scene.
That's a great analogy.
You get a much more complete picture that way.
You do. It highlights the importance of not just the data itself.
Right.
But the relationships between different data points.
It's about understanding the symphony of movement.
Yes.
Not just the individual notes.
Exactly. That holistic thinking is essential as we continue developing and integrating these technologies.
Absolutely. This deep dive has been quite a journey.
It has.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
But I know there's one question on our listeners' minds.
Oh, and what's that?
Were they successful?
Ah, the million-dollar question.
Did they actually achieve their goal?
Wow.
Develop a system that could reliably differentiate between those very specific locations.
Right, like front pocket versus back pocket.
Exactly. Using multiple sensors.
Unfortunately, the answer, at least within this specific paper, is no.
They didn't quite get there.
Not entirely. Remember, this was 2005.
Right, right.
Their vision was incredibly ambitious.
It was.
But the technology at the time simply wasn't advanced enough to fully realize it.
So even their aspirations were ahead of the curve.
In many ways, yes.
But they laid the groundwork.
They absolutely did.
For what has become a flourishing field of research. It's exactly. The progress in on-body sensing and location recognition since then has been astounding.
It has.
We have significantly more sophisticated sensors now.
We do.
Or powerful algorithms.
Yes.
And a much deeper understanding of the complexities of human movement.
It's remarkable.
It is. So while this paper didn't have all the answers,
sure,
it provided the inspiration.
It did.
The roadmap for countless researchers who came after.
And that, in my view,
yes,
is one of the most significant legacies of any scientific endeavor.
To inspire, to push the boundaries.
Not just to address today's questions, but to spark the questions of tomorrow.
Beautifully said. It's a good reminder that scientific progress is a marathon, not a sprint.
It is.
And this paper, with all its insights and aspirations, was a pivotal milestone in that marathon.
Absolutely. And as we continue down this path
towards the future of on-body sensing,
with all its potential,
we must remember the lessons learned along the way. Balance our enthusiasm for innovation with a deep respect for privacy, ethical considerations, and the potential impact of these technologies.
Couldn't agree more.
This deep dive has truly been illuminating.
It has been fascinating to revisit this work.
It has. I'm leaving with a renewed appreciation for these researchers.
As am I.
Their ingenuity, the lasting impact of their work.
It speaks to the power of scientific curiosity.
It does.
The desire not just to understand the world as it is, but to explore what it could be.
Well, on that note.
Yes.
We've reached the end of another deep dive.
I've enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. If you're intrigued by the potential of wearable sensors.
As we are.
We encourage you to check out the full research paper.
Where am I? Recognizing on-body positions of wearable sensors.
You can find it linked in the show notes.
It's a fascinating read, even if you don't have a technical background.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep into the world of knowledge.
Indeed. See you next time.